that I have it in my spirit that this is probably going to be the last one. And I hope that this has not been too redundant for you. Because if you'll notice in the Bible, if Jesus calls your name one time, pay attention. But if Jesus says, Simon, Simon, you better really pay attention. Why? Because something's coming. And me and Scotty, we don't talk about our messages, you know, before we do them or anything like that. I mean, I don't know what he's going to be ministering on this morning. He never knows what I'm going to be on or whatever. But if you've noticed, I've been on this, and then God's been having him on it, the same thing, said a different way maybe, some of the same scriptures. Well, how many knows that before a test ever comes, you always get some kind of teaching or instruction, whether that's in school or in the kingdom of God? So because he has been on this so heavily, you better know something's coming. And it's coming to all of us. I believe that what's coming and what he's talking about is going to become to the whole world. That's why he tells us, you know, just like things that's going on in the economy now and to happen before, you know, 2007, 8, 9, around in there, whatever. How many knows the whole world went through that? But how many knows God's people, if we've already been walking and living by faith and living on God's kingdom economy, it doesn't have to affect you. But if you're not, if you've been working, living on your job, you know, your finances, what you can do and all that, it's going to greatly affect you. And there were some people, even Christians during that time, it took them out. But how many knows for the people of God, it doesn't have to. But how many knows just because you're born again don't mean that you don't go through the same thing the world goes through, or that you don't come out with the same results that the world comes out with. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be separate, right? And that's not supposed to just be a name only. Now, well, let's read Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 through 3 right quick. God spoke this verse to my heart, I believe it was Friday night. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Now notice he's pointing out different people there. Do you realize you can be a Christian and still have ungodly thinking, ungodly ways of doing? Absolutely. Just because you're a Christian don't mean you can't walk ungodly. He says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, or we would say today, the word of God, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he, this is the part that stuck out to me, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Notice that bringeth forth his fruit when? In his season. Just because you're not having any fruit coming forth right now don't mean nothing. There's a season for it. He goes on, he says, in his fruit in his season, notice, his leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, he told me some other things, and I wrote it down. He said, a tree must develop deep roots, or it will not survive the storms that comes into its life. And when I heard him say that, I could see there's a big old tree right out here. Y'all notice that? I mean, humongous tree. It's probably more bigger around than this table. I mean, this podium is wide. Can you imagine? I don't know how old the tree is. Maybe hundreds of years old. I mean, I don't know. That tree has been there for as long as I can remember. I know. Can you imagine how many storms, hurricanes? You know, we had we do get hurricanes here, Ivan and some of the other ones. That tree has weathered all of those storms and is still there. But I guarantee you, you won't go out there with a shovel and dig that tree up. Why? That tree has developed deep roots. He told me this. He says, the taller or higher up the building is going to go, the deeper the foundation must be dug if the building is going to stand when the storms and hurricanes come. They built the Family Dollar Tree out here. What is that building? 15 foot tall? I mean, somewhere around in there. Maybe a little short, a little tall. Anyway, it's not real tall. I watched them build that building. I mean, I would come by there almost every day, you know. They didn't dig a real deep foundation for that building. I mean, it's maybe 2-3 foot deep from what I saw. They dug out the bank. Why? Because that building's not very tall. I have seen Scotty, and I just point out him because he's the only one that I have seen personally day after day after day. Not nothing, you know, special about him or whatever. But when we got born again, and this is for everybody, we got born again, and we begin to dive into the Lord and to the Word of the Lord and to our church, you know, be faithful to go to church, excited and all that stuff. And he began to have this desire to, that he was going to be, you know, a preacher or whatever. And he didn't really know what that meant other than preach behind the pulpit, you know. Told Brother Brad about it. And Brother Brad has a way, since he's been a pastor a while, if you're not really called, to weed you out. So he tells him, come home with me. So he goes home with him after church. The first thing he does is he takes him to the jails. And he knows them people's not in there from going to church too much. Most of them in there don't want to hear what you got to say. How many knows it's a good place to take people? Why? Right off the bat, you get adversity. And if you're not called, more than likely, you don't stay. But anyway, trying to make a long story short, they licensed him 8 months after he had been born again. But I can't tell you how long he had been going to the jail before they actually gave him his license. Why am I saying this? Y'all have heard the story, you know, how that whenever he got born again, he had worked the same job, you know, for years on and off and all that, and they begin to taunt him at the time clock and call him names, Bible thumper, one guy spit on him. I mean, all different kinds of stuff. Why is he going through all this? I'm not going through all that, Sandy. Now I still have my little things that I go through, you know, upset about this or that or another. Now I'm not going through all this, but he's going all through all this. Well, there was a guy come to our church, and his name was Roy Ralph. He's a prophet. He called Scotty up and he told him, he said, I've never seen it like this before. He said, but there is a lifeline. He said, it comes from you and it holds up the church. Now, we know the church is built on Jesus, so that can't be, far as that part, what he's talking about. And we had no clue what the plans that God had for our lives, or especially his life, for years down the road. I mean, you're talking, I don't know what, 8 years, 6, 7 years down the road. Never had a clue. Didn't have a desire to be a pastor or anything. But how many knows, without Scotty, this church did not begin? Why? Not because it's not built on Jesus, but because Jesus has to have a physical body here in the earth to do certain things. Now, he went through all that. God sent him to the jail while he's still going to, what is it, Coleman County and Coleman City. And then God tells him to go to the jail at Oneonta. They don't want to let him in. He has to do paperwork. And he come out all discouraged and what gonna go. And God asked him, how bad do you want it? He says, well, I want it bad. So he goes back in there, and lo and behold, they had to end up letting him go. Why? Because God said. But how many knows, even though sometimes God says, the enemy is not going to just bust open the door for you. You must be persistent and consistent with what you believe the will of God is. So he goes that. He does that for years and years and years. Then God tells him, while all that's going on, tells him to go on the street down there where Dollar General parking lot is, there beside McDonald's in Oneonta. Y'all have all heard the story. I have a reason for this. So he tells him to go down there, you know, and I mean, it's not convenient. He works all day on Friday. He don't get off till 5 o'clock or later. He starts that service by 7 o'clock. He has to go over somewhere, load up speakers and pews and chairs and things for people to sit in, because everybody didn't sit in their cars, you know. Some of them wanted out there and would mingle. So he'd have to go load all that up after work, take it down there, get it set up, certain lights and things down there, and then start the service. Plus, you got to be hearing from God in between that for what he wants to say at the service. Why am I telling you all this? Because all of that was in preparation for you. Now, maybe you don't think he needs all that for you, but he does. Sometimes the things that you go through ain't even got nothing to do with you. Sometimes you have to be like the tree out here that withers the storms and has to grow deep roots if it's going to survive. Because somebody's going to enjoy the shade that tree makes. Just like him, all this. Now, during this time, sure, is God developing his character? Absolutely. Why? He needs character to be a pastor. Why? Because it's not an evangelist. You don't hit him one time and run. He's a pastor is somebody that you see sometimes daily, sometimes week after week after week after week after week. So you got to have things on the inside of you. Well, lo and behold, there has been some that come here before, and I have seen it at other churches and things like that. They thought they could pastor a church better than he could. Number one, you'll never go very far in pride at all. I don't care what God calls you to do. Why? Because number one, you're going to need grace. Without God's grace, you can do absolutely nothing. And he says he gives his grace to the humble. I don't care if you're doing Sunday school, if you're keeping the nursery, if you're running the sound. I don't care what you're doing. You need the grace of God. And I have seen them. They got the idea, you know, we're called and we're anointed. And they was, and they was called and anointed and all of that. How many knows, even if you're called and anointed, the Bible talks about a due season on everything. 2 years wasn't enough for Scotty. 2 years wasn't enough for me to be able to come down here. I almost didn't make it after we came down here. Why? Because I would be, sometimes I wouldn't do everything I needed to do at home, you know, my study and praying and all of that, and then I would get in trials or tests, and I would say, if I can just get to Brother Brad and let him pray for me, everything will be okay. Because I had this sense of, I can't make it, I just can't make it, I just feel like I can't make it, you know. And sure enough, I would get to Brother Brad, and I would tell Brother Brad, and he would pray for me, and the anointing would zap me, and whoo, glory, here we go all over again. Get down here, and they ain't no Brother Brad down here. There's Scotty down here. Why am I saying that? Because every one of us, there's going to come a time in our lives to where God as babies lets us start out depending on other people, depending on other things, depending on our jobs, depending on borrowing money, depending on relationships. But there's going to come a time in every one of our lives, and I can't tell you for each one of us how long that's going to be, that he says, no more. No more can you depend on Brother Brad to pray for you and me touch you and everything be okay. No more. That's enough of that. So once I got down here, it's kind of like I had nobody but God. How many of those, that's a good place? Don't feel good. Don't look good. Don't sound good all the time. But how many knows it will develop you and grow you on the inside? You will be surprised at the maturity that responsibility will bring if you'll bear up under it. Well, I'm telling you all this. All of you are called. All. You know, I don't know what you're called to. Like I've said before, some of you are called, you'll stay here forever, possibly. Some of you, God will grow you up, send you, I mean, I don't know, could send you to Africa or India or somewhere else, you know, or start a church, somewhere, I don't know, or an evangelist or whatever. But how many knows, every one of us, because we're called by God to do something, we must be developing. Because there's going to come a time for a due season of that to come to pass. 8 years, a little over 8 years, and God said, okay, it's time. Go down there and start this church. It wasn't 7 years. It wasn't 9 years. Now, I don't know if it could have been seven or not. I could have held things up maybe possibly a little bit or whatever. But my point is, everybody has a due season that comes in their life. Now, look at Galatians chapter 6. Oh, let me read the last one he told me. He said, unfavorable conditions drive that tree to grow its roots deeper. Y'all didn't say nothing. So y'all grow deeper roots in God when y'all on the mountaintop. All your bills is paid. Samantha's acting right, Johnny. You know, Robert's not spitting toothpaste on the mirror. That's when y'all grow, right? That's when y'all develop y'all's roots. Of course not. That's not even scriptural. And that's what he told me. He said, unfavorable to conditions. How many knows, drought, if that tree's going to survive, it must grow deeper roots. Why? Because there's water in the ground. But you might have to go a little bit deeper to ever tap into it. Right? He said, unfavorable conditions drive the tree to grow deeper root, its roots deeper. Now look at Galatians 6. Time's sake, I'm just going to start reading in verse 7. He says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary, or we could say get tired, quit, in well doing. How many knows doing the will of God is well doing? He says, for in when? Due season, that's always further away than you want it to be. We shall reap, he says, if we faint not, if you don't quit. God said his promises in his word are to us yes and amen, right? They're all promised. They're all given. The Bible says he's given us everything that pertains unto life and pertains unto godliness. He says he would supply all of our needs. All of that. So that should never even be a question. That's all already a given. But how many knows there's some things that are attached to a due season? See, God's not like teachers. They've got to where today, you used to back when I went to school and you did the, what was that called, field day thing or whatever. You do the 50-yard dash. You do not get a certificate. You do not get a prize. You do not get one of them little medals that hangs around your neck unless you won. A lot of times that's not what they do today. Everybody gets an A when you made an F. Everybody gets a certificate just because you showed up that day. I mean, it's God doesn't do that. If you don't pass the test, God does not promote you. And there's always a due season to things. Now let's look at, let me quote you this one. I read it last week. Hebrews 10:36. He says, for you have need of patience. Well, I want to read that in the Amplified. Get over right quick. He says, for you have need, King James says patience, Amplified Bible says, for you have need of steadfast patience and endurance so that you may perform and fully accomplish the will of God and thus receive and carry away and enjoy to the full what is promised. But he says you need endurance or patience, he says, after you have done the will of God. Most people want God to give them. That's kind of like we're sitting in a service one time. Y'all have heard the story. We have $2 to our name, and it's like Wednesday. We have a visiting minister that night, and God speaks to both of us separately and tells us to give that $2 in that offering. And out of fear, we did not do it. Now, I don't know, Johnny, what I thought $2 was going to do. I mean, seriously, a bag of loaf bread, you know, maybe a four-piece pack of ham or something. I don't know, but it wasn't going to deliver us or meet all of our needs or anything. But that's just where we was at. And we didn't give it, and we learned a very valuable lesson. Now, had we given that $2 because of what I know about God and because I know of what the Scripture says, God was trying to get me to trust Him and get something to me, something of the promise, but I had to do the will of God first. He says, first you do the will of God, then this will happen, or that'll happen, or you'll receive the promise. But a lot of people, they don't want to do that. Why? It takes faith and patience. To do the will of God and then to stand until the promise comes. Now let's look at Habakkuk. I know we read this one last week, but we're going to read it again. I'm trying to get somewhere and I'm trying to hurry. Because I think this is going to be the last one on this. And then I guess the test begins if you ain't already in it. I don't like tests. I didn't like tests in school. I don't like tests now. But I'm learning something. They're good for me. They don't feel good. I wouldn't pray for them, but they're good. Verse 1, he says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables. He says, that he may run with it that readeth it. For the vision is yet for what? An appointed time. 10 years after the desire of Scotty's heart did the vision come to pass. How long was it, Johnny? But close to 2 years, something like that, for some method? Yeah. For others, you know, they got whatever theirs is. He says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, or in other words, you ain't seen it yet, wait for it. He says, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Now let's go over to Genesis 37. So we're going to have to get rid of this microwave Christianity. Why? It don't work. It'll keep you a baby. It'll keep you from receiving the promises. It'll keep you from doing the will of God. Had Scotty not stood the test of all those things, now was he perfect in it? Absolutely not. I have not been either. I don't know anybody that is just perfectly advanced through every breeze, through every test or trial they've ever been through, you know. But how many knows there's a process you go through and you continue on with it, right? But had he not endured all of that at work? Had he not, and plus to me. I mean, you know, y'all think I'm something now. I mean, I was really bad before. I mean, this is good now, you know, or whatever. So he's got me to deal with at home. He's got the people to deal with at work. Then God sends him to three different jails and then to the street. And he's got to endure all of this. Why? Because his foundation has to be deep if God's going to use him greatly in the ministry. Sometimes people, you'll hear me say, I don't know why I'm going through this. Well, why not? Why me? I do this right. I tithe, I give, I'm nice to people. Well, why not you? Is all that supposed to exempt you from trials and tests? No, honey, sometimes it's only because your foundation has to go deeper or your roots have to go deeper because your promise is great. But here in us, what did I say, Genesis 37? We're going to start reading just for time's sake in verse 5. Excuse me. Y'all remember the story about Joseph, right? That's what we're fixing to read. His brothers couldn't stand him because he was favored by his father. Now, fathers really shouldn't do that. Scotty had a daddy like that, and it caused a little resentment with his brothers and sisters at different times, you know. But anyway, he favored him. He gave him a coat of many colors, you know, and that just really made it even worse with his family. But here in verse 5, it says, and Joseph dreamed a dream. And he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. Everything he does ticks them off further. It says, verse 6, and he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. He says, for behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and all stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheep, means in other words bowed down. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. Verse 9, and he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon, and that's talking about his mom and daddy, and the 11 stars made obeisance to me, and he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father served the saying. In other words, his father observed it, held on to it, thought about it, in other words. Let's see how far I got right now, to verse 11. Now, we're not going to continue reading on with that because probably every one of us in here can remember the story. Joseph did nothing for his brothers to want to kill him, as far as him. Do you realize God even instigated this a little further? Why? God's the one gave him the first dream. God's the one gave him the second dream. Everybody's not going to be happy about what God gives you or where he takes you. Why? Because he don't take them there. That's just like there's people right now, they've been born again, but they're not at church anywhere this morning. They're on the lake. They're twiddling their fingers at home, watching whatever on TV. Do you understand? They're not going where you're going. They may be called to go where you're going, but how many knows just because you're born again don't mean we all go the same place. That's going to be up to us. Am I doing the thing that God called me to do? Am I pressing forward? Am I growing deeper roots? Now, Joseph here, God stirred all of this up even more because they already didn't like him. Then God gives him a dream, and they don't like him because of that. Then he gives him another dream and says, and your mom and daddy's going to bow down to you too. Have you ever got any of that? If you hadn't, you will. Why? Because everybody don't like it that God's using you. Some people are jealous. Some people are envious. They want God to use them, but they will not pay the price to allow God to do it through them. And that's the only reason he does it. Not because he doesn't want to. Now, all of our plans may be different, stuff like that, that God's will for us or whatever. That's just wherever we are. Now, as the story goes, they wanted to kill him. I made him meet it. Let me see if I can find it. Right quick. let's see, I think it's 28 in the Amplified. It says, then as the Midianite merchants were passing by, the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the well. They wanted to kill him, but Reuben stopped them. So they threw him in a well. And it says, and they sold him for 20 pieces of silver to the Ishmaelites, who took Joseph captive into Egypt. Then Reuben, who had not been there when the brothers plotted to sell the lad, returned to the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he tore his clothes. Now that's how he got, immediately after these two dreams, this is what happens to him. They want to kill him. Reuben talks him out of it. They throw him in the pit. Reuben goes off. They sell him into slavery and all that. Then he gets over in Egypt. Then he gets into Potiphar's house. Well, the Bible says God began to bless and increase Potiphar because Joseph was there. The blessing is on him. But how many knows, just because the blessing's on you don't mean you're not going to have hardship. Sometimes your hardship's going to be even harder and even greater because it is. And as the story goes, you know, I mean, Potiphar's wife, she gets the hots for Joseph, you know. I mean, this is a later teenage guy, I think 17, 18, somewhere around in there, they say, you know, and he's working and doing all this. She calls him in the house. I need some help, Joseph. You know, Potiphar sent you here to help me. I need some help inside hanging this picture. You know. Anyway, that's Teresa's virgin. Somehow or another, she gets him in the house. Whatever it was. Well, then she begins to come on to him, you know. Well, the Bible says Joseph ran. And when he ran, she grabbed his coat, and he ran clean out of his coat and his shirt or whatever, and it's still there. Well, as the story goes, she lied on him. Y'all don't expect everybody to tell the truth on y'all, do you? I mean, seriously, if you do, you're going to get your feelings hurt, and you're going to end up getting offended, and it's a trap of the devil. Everybody's not going to tell the truth. You may have periods of time that people lie on you and lie on you and lie on you and lie on you and lie on you. And you can't get upset. You just keep being who you are. You keep making sure what they're saying about you is not true. Well, anyway, lo and behold, because of this or whatever, he gets thrown into prison. And y'all know the story, you know, there was the baker and the butler and all this. And Joseph they get thrown into prison. Joseph interprets the dream. Now, Joseph gets to be the head over the prison. I mean, the blessing of the Lord is with this guy everywhere he goes. Just like Psalms 1 that we just read, he prospers. He don't get out of it, but he prospers right in the middle of it. Why? He's going through all of this because, see, he don't know how God's going to bring these dreams to pass, and neither do you. Scotty had no idea that the hell he seemed to be going through at work, on the job, you know, and in the jail and all this other stuff, and with me and people, was going to bring him ultimately to here, and not just here. I don't know what God has for later. I mean, wouldn't it be something if we have a mega church of 3,000 to 5,000 people? Now, I don't even know how many that we have right now online. You know, I know we have several pastors and their churches that they listen to us over in India and other places, you know. I mean, he gets emails from them, different things like that. But anyway, he gets sold into slavery, all that. Potiphar's, he's in the dungeon and all that, in the prison. He becomes the head over that. The baker and the butler gets thrown in. And God gives him the interpretation of their dreams. This is all God. He's not doing any of it on his own. And he tells him, he says, remember me. He tells one of them, you're going to make it and be restored. And sorry, dude, but your head's going to be cut off. Just paraphrasing here. And it's exactly the way it happened. One of them got restored, you know, to Pharaoh, and the other one, he got killed. Then I think it was something like, what was it? About 2 years later, something happens, and this guy says, oh, Pharaoh, I remember a guy when I was in prison. You're supposed to remember him before now, but anyway, due season, this is the appointed time. Not before then. See, it was something like they say about 2 years after the guy got out of prison. How many know God knew it was going to be about 2 years? Because it's the appointed time. He wasn't needed before Pharaoh until then. And he tells him, hey, Pharaoh, I remember a guy down there, he interpreted my dream, and he told me, you know, I was going to make it, and this other guy, he's going to be killed, and it ended up just like he said. So he goes and he calls, Pharaoh had a dream. Who gave Pharaoh the dream? God says, I open doors, they can't no man shut, and I close doors, they can't no man open. And when that door for you, when you have stood the test and that door for you, it gets your appointed season, your due season for God to open it, it will open. I don't care where you are or what you're going through or anything, it will open. And God is the one that gave Pharaoh the dream. And so anyway, he calls him forth, you know, out of the prison and all of that. And how many knows? God gave him the new interpretation of that dream. He begins to tell him, you know, this is what the dream means. There's going to be 7 years of plenty, more than enough grain, food, everything, you know, that we need or whatever. And I think it was the story was about cows. Fat cows ate up lean cows, and then lean cows ate up fat cows. I think it's the way the story goes, if I'm remembering right. He says, this is the 7 years of plenty. He said, but then after that, the reason why the skinny cows eat up the fat cows, but they're still skinny, is because there's going to be 7 years of famine. And not only did God give him the interpretation of the dream, he gave him the wisdom of God to know what to do about it. He said, okay, he said, we need to take so much, and we need to store it up out here. Build barns or whatever we need to, now I'm paraphrasing. Build barns, whatever we need to do, silos, and store up. Why? Because there's going to come 7 years of famine. So Pharaoh did exactly what he said. Now notice, he put him second in command to him. Ain't nobody greater in the entire place than him except Pharaoh. God is the only one that can do that for us. The Bible says your gift to make room before you, it'll bring you before great men, before kings, right? And that's exactly what happened to Joseph. Well, as the story goes, they did it. You know, he listened to Pharaoh and put Joseph in charge of all that, saving up the food and storing it and all that. And sure enough, then here come the 7 years of famine. But they had enough. And people would come and they would give it out to people and all of that. So you bring it all the way back over here. Here's Joseph's daddy and his brothers. They're in this same famine. And what happens is they hear how in Egypt they've got plenty. So the daddy sends them out. Y'all know the story, right? The daddy sends them out to go over there and get some grain and food and all this stuff and everything. Had Joseph not been willing to obey God, I don't know what would have happened to his family. See, sometimes some of us, we don't know what will happen to our families. We don't understand the things that we go through, and it seems like sometimes they don't even care and different things like that. But there's times that God will use us as deliverers, as Joseph, in our own families, even though they hate us. They talk about us, Bible freaks, and all these other kinds of stuff. But see, he told them then, he said, you meant it for bad. He said, but God meant it for good. God, even though you was against me, God meant to use me to save you. Why? Because God loved you that much. It's the same way in our lives. Sometimes we go through things just for other people. What did Jesus say? He said, for a righteous man will one die, talking about his own self. The Bible says, as Jesus was, that Christ died for all of us, even though we were yet sinners, that Christ died. He says, for a righteous man will one die. Right? How many knows we're called to lay down our lives even for the unrighteous that is not the righteous yet sometimes, just as he was. Now, let's look at Psalm 105. And y'all know how that story ends, so we won't go on into that. If you don't, you can get your Bible and look it up and read it. I don't have time for that. I got somewhere I got to go here. Psalm 105, verse 17. It says, he sent a man before them, even Joseph. Now, we just got through reading the dream and paraphrasing the story. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron. Notice this. Until the time that his word came. The word of the Lord. What? See, the word of the Lord and the promises of God are not on trial here. They've been tested for centuries, and they have stood, right? And they have been received, but only to those who through faith and patience will not let it go. That word, can you imagine? I don't know how long it was that Joseph was in this. From the day that God gave him that dream, and he told his family about the second dream, until the day that he was made second in command under Pharaoh. I don't really know exactly how many years that was. But I know it wasn't 2 months. imagine, to put yourself there. You're going through all of what he's going through, and he has a word from God. Not a Bible scripture he picked out. He's got a word from God through a dream that this is going to happen. But everything in his life, every time he turns around, looks like it's getting worse. And it's getting worse, and it's not coming. There's no way it can come now. I know y'all ain't never had none of that. If you hadn't, you will. How can I say that? Because if you're born again, God has plans for every one of us, and he has a destiny for every one of us. But at the same time, every one of us is supposed to reveal the same character. Every one of us, our lights are supposed to be shining. Every one of us, our lives are supposed to be living epistles, being read by all men, right? So during all that time, all that that's going taking place outside of us is supposed to be working something in us, right? But it says here that the word of the Lord tried him. You got a promise from God? It's going to try you. It's going to test you. But are you going to stand the test? That's the question. Because, see, it may not be a week. It may not be 2 years. It may not be 10 years. It may not be 20 years. It may not be 50 years. I can't tell you how long it'll be. But I can tell you this. There is an appointed time and there is a due season. But he says, if you don't quit. See, everybody, when they get born again, they're excited. Woo, you went from death to life. You've got excitement. The joy of the Lord is on the inside of you, and Jesus is just great. Right? Then God tells you to go to church, at a certain church. You don't like nobody. They ugly. They mean to you. They don't sing the right songs. They don't sing it in the key you think it should be in. Y'all not saying nothing. Or the right chord. Or Monty, they asked you to capo God for a bit. And can Monty say nothing about capo? Just do it. Trisha can't say nothing. That was the one time I was trying to learn this new song, and the way I learn, I have to watch somebody. So I'll get on the internet and see if I can find somebody that's playing that song at beginner level for me that I can kind of copy or whatever. Anyway, was trying to learn this new song and everything, and so I found one, you know, and I'm trying to beat it out over here. You know, and Monty tried to help me. Of course, he's not a drummer, so anyway, make a long story short, I'm over there and I'm trying to do it, and it's not to suit our praise team leader or whatever, you know, and he's wanting me to do something different, and I said, I can't or whatever. He said, you go on, do it. And when he did, I couldn't see nothing. I'm telling you, and before I thought, it come out of my mouth. I don't have to do nothing. And then I realized where I am. And I said, except the best I can. The Lord saved me. Why am I telling you all that? Because if God tells you to go to church somewhere and be faithful there, you don't have to like anybody or anything. Just do what he said. If he tells you to play on the praise team or sing, you don't have to like one song, one capo, one beat, one nothing. Just do what he said. Endure it. Y'all not saying nothing. Endure it. The Bible says that patience endures hardship without complaining. Oh, well, say I can stand at Walmart for a little while. What are you laughing for, Sandy? So we know where people are when they laugh. But anyway, so I can stand in line at Walmart for a little while. But can I stand there all day? Now we get Doris. It just hit her. It's hitting around the room, ain't it? But see, it's amazing to me, like I said last week, God uses in us and on us whatever he has to work with, whether it's your spouse. And I'm not talking about evil. God doesn't do evil or whatever. There's still, you would think I would have Scotty trained after 37 years of certain things about him I don't like. And you would think he would have trained out of me, since he raised me according to him, things out of me he don't like. But there's still there, some of them. And those are the things that you just got to endure. Sad to say, some people don't, and that's why they're divorced. over sometimes what seems to be, when you're outside looking in, the most nitpickingest things. But it's those things that's toothpaste on the mirror every time you go in the bathroom. Toilet seat up. I cannot stand for that toilet seat to be up when I go to the bathroom at 2 o'clock in the morning because I don't turn the light on. And I mean, I'm big, but they ain't that big yet. And I'm not going there either to where I don't kind of fall in. What I do? Just endure it. Just feel around and make sure the seat's down before you sit down. Why? I can't make him stop. I can't make him do it. See, do you understand? So if I don't do this, we will get a divorce. If he don't, why? Because I can't go my whole entire life like that. Because it just grates on me, whatever it is, day after day after day after day after day. So what do I do? I have to use my faith and patience. Endure it. Believe God, he'll put it down. Something. I got to get on with this. But everybody is excited when they start the race, when they get out there to the marathon. Y'all ever seen them out there? They're fixing to run the marathon. You got bicycling, you got swimming, you got weightlifting or whatever. Woo, they're stretching. Y'all don't watch none of this stuff, do you? What do y'all do? What do y'all watch? I mean, I'm just one. Gunsmoke. Good Lord, to give me a little action around here. Anyway, they're stretching, you know. They're getting ready, and they're like, woo, I can take them. Look at this one. Oh, I know I got you. I know I do. And you look over here. I got you, too. I'm going to win this thing. It's going to be good. But how many knows when you continue watching and you watch the finish line, there's not as many people going across the finish line as there was that went across the start line. And if y'all ain't noticed, in the kingdom of God, it's the same way. Why? Because the Bible talks about seed that was sown. And he talks about the ground. How many knows the ground is our heart? The Bible talks about in the Old Testament, he says, break up the fallow ground. How do I break up the fallow ground? Number one, I need to water the word in my life. Psalm we just read over there, he says, he meditates in his word day and night. I water that word I have on the inside of me. Why? So it don't get dry. Then I have to break up that fallow ground. Maybe I need to do some fasting. Maybe I need to do extra praying. Maybe I just need to do something good for somebody and quit thinking about me all the time. Different ways. Because if you don't break up the fallow ground, then the seed's going to fall on stony ground. And guess what? You might endure, he says, for a while. You might make it to the bicycling of the marathon. Or the swimming of the marathon, right? But if you don't endure to the end, you won't make it. You won't cross the finish line. And sad to say, the Apostle Paul, he said, some have made shipwreck of their faith. There's some people, they started out good. They loved the Lord with all their heart. They was obeying God and everything. But they came to a place to where that's it. I can't take it no more, they feel like. Or that's just too hard for me. I hear that a lot here at this church. Y'all just so hard. It's just so hard to do what y'all say down there. And I'm like, really? But I can tell you part of what it is. Every church in the kingdom of God has a calling in the kingdom to do. Some people, for you to understand it, some churches are like this. Some churches are plumbing churches. They do plumbing. Not naturally. Y'all get what I'm saying, right? It's kind of like here. If this is a foundation church and what we do over here is we dig foundation, don't come over here trying to put the toilet on our foundation. Why? It don't go there. You're at the wrong place trying to do the wrong thing. All church, just as individuals have all things they're called to do, a whole body, a whole church is called to do certain things in the kingdom of God and out here in the world. Not everybody has a food ministry. Not everybody's supposed to. But then you have those that are called to do it or whatever. I don't remember why I'm getting off on that anyway. But we have to, Matthew 10:22, Jesus said, he that endureth unto the end. See, you can start out good, but it's not about how good you start. Everybody can start out good. Everybody can be excited about Jesus. Everybody can be excited about going to church and doing good for people. But how long? And see, God's not saying, y'all just endure in yourself. Y'all just have patience in yourself. No, you can't do it with your own fleshly patience or endurance. This is a supernatural endurance. This is a supernatural patience and steadfastness he's talking about. Let's read this one scripture, and I got to quit. 1 Peter 4. Gosh, I had way more than that. Maybe we ain't good. Y'all sucking up too much of my time with all that amen and stuff. That's what. All that talking. Yeah, 1 Peter verse 12. That ain't it. That's 2 Peter. No wonder it didn't look right. Verse 12, he says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery." Y'all ever have any of them? Y'all have trials, and then y'all have fiery trials, which is, notice, he says, is to try you. To try you. It's not there to try the world. It's to try you. He says, as though some strange thing happened to you. That's why I said, don't ask yourself, why is this happening to me? Why not? If you're in the kingdom, that's why. He says, but rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. He says, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. And he goes on down there. But notice what he says. Now let's look at one more verse. I've got to read this one and then I've got to stop. It's here in 1 Peter 1, verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a what? Season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, that's what's on trial. He says that the trial of your faith, notice, being much more precious than of gold that perishes. Faith is gold to God. He says, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Notice, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now listen to verse, I think it's 7. Yeah. So that, this is amplified, so that the genuineness of your faith may be tested. Your faith, which is infinitely more precious than the perishable gold, which is tested and purified by fire. It says, this proving of your faith is intended to redound to your praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Now, in the natural, they don't dig gold out of the ground and start making jewelry with it. Did y'all know that? No, why? It's not pure gold. You got impurities in it. You got rocks and gravel and dirt and all other kinds of ore, maybe iron and different things. So what do? They heat it up. What did he say there? He said that the genuineness of your faith may be tested and brought to purity. So see, the tests and trials we go through, God doesn't intend for them to destroy us. God intends for us to go through the process and come out with pure faith on the other side and more endurance developed through them. Anybody got anything they'd like to say quickly before we close? All right, we'll recess till 11.